It's time for Pacers Weekly.
The Indiana Pacers taking care of the Atlanta Hawks last night, a game where from nearly the opening jump, Indiana took control. They jumped out to an early 9-4 lead. After the first quarter led 34-15, things were never, ever seriously in doubt since then. A much-needed style of game for the Pacers after losing on Wednesday, playing in a close one on Monday. And with the schedule they have coming ahead, we will detail that in a few moments. Important to get the kind of win where players like Victor Oladipo can maybe have a little bit more rest as the Pacers gear up for their stretch run. It's one of the toughest schedules in the NBA. And they do it with a 112-87 win over Atlanta at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Friday night. The Pacers were led by balanced scoring from their starters. In fact, Victor Oladipo did not take a shot until late in the first quarter. He did most of his scoring, his 17 points. Most of them came in the third quarter. You'd look at 17 points and maybe compare it to the 14 and 13 of the last two games and note that maybe Oladipo's scoring is down. It was certainly true of the previous two games, but his scoring at 17 points came on 9 shots on Friday night. So he was much more of the distributor against Atlanta. 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. By the way, Victor Oladipo now with a steal in 49 consecutive games. That's starting to approach rarefied air. It is long in a way now, the franchise record, which he got once he hit his 41st consecutive game with a steal. But just 2 more steals in 2 more games for Victor Oladipo. And he will have a steal in 51 consecutive games. That would be 10th all-time. It would match Allen Iverson for the 10th longest streak in NBA history. So Oladipo starting to join some pretty impressive company, at least as it relates to that. Miles Turner with 17 and 12, but the biggest stories were the point guards. Darren Collison, most notably, returning from injury. That arthroscopic knee surgery he had cost him 11 games. He came in, played 21 minutes, scored 17 points, notched 5 assists, was 7 of 10 from the floor. And Corey Joseph, who's been starting in his stead, maybe had his best game of the season. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals for Joseph, who was 7 of 13 from the floor. The duo combined for 14 of 23 shooting and 35 points. So the Pacers, with that win, moved to 38 and 28. They matched their high watermark of the season at 10 games over 500. And they're tied with Washington for fourth place in the Eastern Conference. That tiebreaker currently does not really exist. The Pacers and Wizards will play one more time in D.C. The winner of that game will determine the tiebreaker should they become tied at the end of the season. Perhaps most notably as it relates to the Eastern Conference race, Cleveland lost last night. So the Pacers and Wizards right now, both just a half game behind the Cavs for third. And the Pacers have that tiebreaker over Cleveland. They won 3 out of 4 against the Cavs this season. Indiana trying to give themselves a little bit of a cushion between fourth, and what is 6th, 7th, and 8th. Philadelphia right now 2 games behind the Pacers. Miami is 3 games behind Indiana. And so is Milwaukee, who sits in 8th. As it relates to making the playoffs, the Pacers are in fantastic shape. Indiana is 8 games ahead of 9th place Detroit. That is who would have to catch the Pacers for them to miss. Also, those 3 teams behind Indiana would have to catch them as well. So the Pacers have an 8-game advantage on Detroit, and they have played 66 games so far this season, meaning 16 games to go, 8-game lead. Essentially, if the Pacers were to go 8-8, Detroit could not lose the rest of the season. A very nice margin for the Pacers built in there. Indiana's magic number is just 9. It's into the single digits with 16 games to go. Also a very promising statistic for Indiana. As we look at the schedule coming up, the Pacers have maybe their toughest week of the season ahead. At Boston tomorrow, Tuesday at Philadelphia, Thursday they return back home to take on Toronto, one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the best team right now in the Eastern Conference. And then they go back on the road to take on Washington. Probably their toughest 4-game stretch of the season is ahead of them. 7:30 on Sunday against Boston. 7 o'clock right here is where you can catch the Kroger pregame show. 7 o'clock also with Jeremiah Johnson on Fox Sports Indiana. Speaking of JJ, we will talk to him a little bit later in the show as he joins us live. We will also hear from Mark Boyle, Chris Denari, Eddie White, Mark Monteith, and those grouping have lined up a myriad of guests, including the Pacers head coach, Darren Collison, will be joining us at some point in the show, and we would love to hear from you as well. 317-239-1070 is the number to call in, talk Pacers basketball with us. I'm at Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. You're listening to Pacers Weekly, where we will talk Pacers basketball here from 10 to 11 o'clock. We do it every Saturday morning on 1070 The Fan and 107.5 FM. We're going to take a short break. When we return, we will tip things off with Pacers play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle. He chats with the head coach, Nate McMillan. Their conversation when we return on Pacers Weekly.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum. The best to offer, rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Victor Oladipo. You know Banker's Life from the name on our home court, Banker's Life Fieldhouse. Banker's Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they are one of the 10 largest companies in the state, providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at cnoinc.com. That's cnoinc.com. And let's go, Pacers.
Through our local associates, Stanley Security, one of the world's leading global security providers, has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and service to the commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities. Stanley is a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and the official security products provider of the Indiana Pacers. Find out how Stanley Security can provide a solution for you at stanleysecurity.com.
Since 1993, the Pacers Foundation has been investing in agencies throughout Indiana that are working to create programming and opportunities for at-risk youth. From anti-bullying to providing safe havens for abused children, to day camps to mentoring programs, the Pacers Foundation strives to be part of the solution to the problems facing our Indiana children. You could help, too, by purchasing a Pacers Foundation license plate through the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Go to pacersfoundation.org to learn more.
Pacers Weekly continues on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. I'm Pat Boylan. Let's start things off with Pacers radio play-by-play announcer Mark Boyle and Indiana Pacers head coach Nate McMillan. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. We're about to enter the final month of the season, and everybody's goal, Nate, at this time of the year is the same in that you want to be playing your best ball heading into the postseason. Do you feel you're doing that? Or if you're not, do you feel you are in position to do it?
Yeah, we've played some good basketball, since returning from the break. And, you know, we dropped some games, but I feel we're in a good rhythm. We're starting to get some guys back, and we're going to be trying to work those guys into the rotation. But we know what we need to do, and we've got a tough stretch ahead of us. And our approach has been just take it one game at a time.
Once Darren Collison gets back to his previous form, in other words, fully conditioned and all of that, and now you've got Trevor Booker in the mix, how will you use your rotations? Any different with the new guy coming on and Darren back in the mix?
Well, you know, we'll work Darren in slowly when he comes back and bring him off the bench for maybe a game or two, just see how he plays. And as soon as we feel he's ready, we'll put him back in that starting lineup. My goal is to, we know we got 10, 11 guys that can play, but I want to try to get to a nine-man rotation, once we get everybody healthy. And, hopefully we can get a rhythm as quick as possible with those 9-10 guys.
Since our last visit, you did sign Trevor Booker, and we have seen him, not just with the Pacers, but over the years with many teams. What do you anticipate him bringing to the mix?
Well, I think he brings a physicality to the floor. His ability to rebound the basketball is something that we certainly need. He's a great rebounder on both ends of the floor. I think he has the versatility to guard, 1 through 5. He can switch and guard some of those guys in the pick and rolls. He can guard big guys. He can guard small guards, so he brings versatility. I think he brings a toughness to the floor, and he's a guy that he comes out and plays with a sense of urgency.
I don't need to tell you this, you've lived it, but coaching is full of nuance and there are a lot of things that go into it. Specifically, Lance Stephenson has always been a rather mercurial player and has had his ups and downs lately. From a coaching perspective, how do you get a grip on how much latitude to give him?
Well, you just have to work with him, and I've had the opportunity to work with Lance for a couple years when I first came to Indiana as an assistant coach, working with him as an assistant, and now having him back as a head. You know, he's a guy that plays with a lot of emotions, and he plays with passion, and he loves the game. And you know, there are some things sometimes he does out on the floor that gets under a few people's skin. You have to, communicate with him, and, he can do some good things to help your club. And, that's the things that we encourage him to do.
You've coached over 1,000 games. I'm curious as to whether you've ever thought about this. When you first started coaching, and maybe you did have players like this, were you as good at delegating time and figuring out how to fit eccentric people into the mix as you are now?
No, absolutely not. I was hitting things head on and just putting out fires. And now, mainly you just try to communicate with the players better. And some of those guys you meet with, you talk with a lot more than you do with others, just to get so that they understand where you're coming from. And I want to hear where, what they're thinking and their thoughts and their role that they have. So, yeah, that has changed over the years as far as the way you communicate with these younger players.
We could get off on a tangent here, but we only have so much time. I want to finish, though, with something along those same lines. What you're saying, at least what I'm inferring you're saying, is that you're coaching NBA players differently now than you were coached as an NBA player, or even as you coached NBA players when you were a young coach.
Absolutely. It's a different league than when I first came into the league. You still had guys who were spending 3-4 years in college. They were more men coming into the league. Now you have young men coming in. You got guys who are coming into the league 18, 19 years old, or you got guys who came into the NBA in their first year. They might be 6-7 years in the league and only 26 years old. It's a different group. It's a different, you have to communicate different with these guys. When I first started coaching, and certainly when I was playing, you could challenge players a little bit more, a little different than you. I think you challenge them now. A lot of that is done in meetings, closed doors, you have to be patient. This is a generation, they like to try to figure out things. They don't really like to be told. They like to figure it out. So you have to be patient with these guys and communicate with them.
Pacers coach Nate McMillan, kind enough to spend some time with us, as he does on a weekly basis here on Pacers Weekly. The Pacers hit the road for the next two in Boston and Philadelphia, then back home to take on Toronto on Thursday. I'm Mark Boyle. Let's go back to Pat Boylan.
All right, Mark and Nate, thank you. When we return, we heard from the head coach. Let's hear from a player, and no one more appropriate to hear from after the break than Darren Collison, who returned from 11 off games after having arthroscopic knee surgery just before the All-Star break. Collison returned. Collison excelled. His teammates noticed him as well. Chris Denari chats with the Pacers point guard. That's coming up next on Pacers Weekly.
The performance of the Indiana Pacers on the court is hugely important, but so are the community outreach efforts of the Pacers and Indiana Fever off the court. Each year, the community relations teams of the Pacers and Fever oversee 50 programs focused on education, social responsibility, and health and wellness initiatives. In 2016-17, more than 500,000 Hoosiers of all ages were impacted by one of these programs. Pacers cares, Fever cares.
Jack's Donuts is sweetening up a Pacers win. The day after a Pacers victory, visit your local Jack's and mention the Pacers win to receive a free 12-ounce coffee or regular price donut. With more variety, more donuts, and more choices, Jack's is the place to celebrate a Pacers win. Visit www.jacksdonuts.com to find the Jack's Donuts location nearest you.
Hi, Pacers fans. This is Chris Denari. Did you know that Indiana has some of the hardest water in the country? To improve the quality of water in your home, do what I did. Choose a whole home water treatment system from Kinetico. Our glasses no longer have a chalky white film, our sinks and tubs stay cleaner longer, and I know our drinking water is safe for the whole family, including my dogs Granger and Bailey. Visit KineticoIndy.com today to set up your free in-home water test. Kinetico, official sponsor of the Indiana Pacers.
Pacers fans, don't miss a game just because you're not in front of a TV. You can watch Pacers basketball anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
Stevenson scores and a foul.
Never miss a moment of the action. Launch the Fox Sports Go app on your phone or tablet. Sign in and stream the Pacers.
Here goes Oladipo.
Take every game, pregame, and postgame along for the ride no matter where you go.
You're listening to the Pacers Weekly on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM. I'm Pat Boylan. Taking your Twitter questions throughout the show, we'll forward them along to Mark Monteith, Jeremiah Johnson, who will join us a little bit later. At Pat Boylan Pacers on Twitter. We heard from Mark Boyle once. He rejoins us now, resurfacing Pacers former guard, Eddie Gill. Mark?
Thank you, Pat. The Pacers concluded a three-game homestand last night with a game against Atlanta, Eddie, and now it's on the road. So let's start there. We see Boston on Sunday night, Philadelphia on Tuesday. The Celtics have been one of the better teams in the league the entire season. And now as we reach the end of the season, or close in on the end of the season, it's obvious that they're a force to be reckoned with. In the light of the opening night injury to Gordon Hayward, A, are you surprised how good they are? And B, why are they that good?
I'm very impressed that they are, at this point, still top one or two seeds in the East, considering they lose a key piece in Gordon Hayward. I think you got to attribute a lot of that to Brad Stevens and the job he's been able to do. I was impressed with what they did last year and the team they had, and they were still able to secure the number one seed last year. So there's something to be said about what he's able to do. And then obviously you got one of the best players in the game, and Kyrie Irving. He's a big-time closer, and he's proven that throughout the season.
They're a great defensive team. That's really the core of what they're doing. Outside of Irving, though, they don't really have a lot of star power. How are they getting it done on the offensive end?
Yeah, it's a collective effort, and I will agree with you. They definitely start and finish on the defensive end. Offensively, they can be challenged and sometimes go through spurts where they can't score the ball. But their defense just keeps them in the game. They have enough talent offensively with Al Horford, who's another all-star. They have a phenomenal rookie in Jason Tatum. Obviously, Jaylen Brown with what he's been able to do on both ends of the floor. So they have good complementary pieces to what Kyrie Irving does. But in some cases, they are challenged offensively.
That's tomorrow night. Tuesday night, the Pacers are in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, one of the many teams scrambling for playoff position. Do you think they'll make it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's real tight there. I think they definitely have the ability to. You know, that's a team that's built for the future right now. And they have some young guys who are just trying to figure out how to win games, especially late. But they have all the talent in the world and plenty capable of securing that eighth spot.
And you bring up an interesting point, their youth, which is an asset in the big picture. But sometimes in the short term, it can be a liability because, as you say, they haven't gone through these kinds of situations. What happens to younger guys, generally speaking, that makes it difficult sometimes for them to make that step and perform well in clutch situations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, again, experience is the great lesson for all of us, you know, and if you haven't had it, you don't know how to react to it. You just don't know what you don't know. So, and having said that, in some cases, they don't know it's a pressure-filled situation. They don't know that there should be some pressure here. So I think in some cases it works both ways, but, you know, right now they're just trying to figure it out and how to play together and how to lean on each other and trust each other.
I could ask you how to play Joel Embiid, but I'm more interested in your take on Ben Simmons because he's a point guard, and if you were out there trying to guard him, you'd have the same issue almost everybody else does. He's just too big. How would you play him?
Exactly. His size and strength is the trump card, you know? So he's a guy, you can't wait for him to get into a scoring area for you to decide to guard him, even though he's not really an efficient shooter at this point in his career. You know, some school of thought might be to, hey, to just back up and let him shoot. Then he's just going to take all the space and just carry you to the rim with him. I believe you got to get in his space and make it uncomfortable while he's out on the perimeter trying to handle the ball. If you can pick him up full court, make it really hard for him to get the ball up the floor. That's definitely what I would do. But you let a guy like that get in the scoring area, and when I say the scoring area, around the three-point line and inside, he can carry you to the rim and get wherever he wants to get to.
The Pacers have a realistic chance, I think, of securing a home court for the opening round of the playoffs. That said, and this number will shift from game to game, but going into the Atlanta game last night, Indiana had the third most difficult schedule of any team in the NBA from now until the final day of the regular season. So given that fact, how likely is it that the Pacers could secure a home court for the opening round? Impossible? Maybe?
You know, I really do like their chances still, just based on the fact that they've performed well against other quality teams throughout the season. So it's not like, you know, they're a team that is beaten up on the bottom half of the league. So having said that, you're going to have to go out there and earn it. You know, you're going to have to go out there and earn it, play efficient defensively, which they've done over the last month or so, and then really get back to where they were offensively. They've tapered off a little bit offensively. They like to see the ball go in the hole a little bit more. That's always helpful. But, you know, I like their chances. I think they have a good opportunity based on what they've done already.
Former Pacer Eddie Gill from time to time drops by on Saturday morning, as he does this morning. The Pacers taking off for a road trip later today. They'll be in Boston on Sunday and in Philadelphia Tuesday. The next home game is Thursday when the Pacers take on Toronto. I'm Mark Boyle. We turn things back over now to Pat Boylan.
Mark and Eddie, thank you. Hey, by the way, if you haven't downloaded the Pacers app, you can get Pacers stories and all of the breaking alerts that come from your favorite NBA team very easily to your smartphone. And one of the features that app has is if you're inside Bankers Live Fieldhouse on a game night and you want to upgrade your seat, sit somewhere a little bit better, you can do it very easily from your smartphone. You just tap a couple of buttons and all of a sudden you are sitting in a much better spot. It's a really cool feature that the app has. All you have to do is go to your app store and download it, or for more information, you can visit pacers.com/app. If you miss any of this show, we podcast these shows on Pacers SoundCloud, or on SoundCloud, I should say. All you have to do is search Pacers Sound, or if you use one of the many podcast apps, Pacers Sound on SoundCloud. This goes there, as well as the Sideline Guys podcast, a weekly show with Jeremiah Johnson and me, goes there, along with a bunch of other content from Pacers Sound. Make sure to follow us if you are not on any of those mediums. Speaking of Jeremiah Johnson, we'll hear from him a little bit later. He joins us live, so does Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith. But coming up next, it's time to go around the house with Eddie White. We'll see who Eddie White is tracked down when we return. This is Pacers Weekly.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so
correct,
we wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum. The best to offer, rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union. Your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 469848.
Steak and Shake now has 24 meals for under $4. So after the game, you can feast on an original double and cheese steak burger meal, a triple steak burger meal, a chicken fingers meal, a chili cheese footlong meal, or any of the other 20 meals served with our famous thin and crispy fries, each under $4. Of course, you could also go to Steak and Shake before the game or during the game. There doesn't even have to be a game. You could go anytime. You could literally go right now. You're gone, aren't you? Hello? Get 24 meals for under $4, only at Steak and Shake.
Jack's Donuts, a family business and locally owned, is a proud partner of your Indiana Pacers. With 13 Central Indiana locations and 60 varieties of donuts, Jack's Donuts is a fan favorite. More variety, more donuts, more choices. Come see us. Jack's Donuts, since 1961, with 13 Central Indiana locations and over 60 varieties of donuts baked fresh every day. Learn more at jacksdonuts.com.
Since 1993, the Pacers Foundation has been investing in agencies throughout Indiana that are working to create programming and opportunities for at-risk youth. From anti-bullying to providing safe havens for abused children, to day camps to mentoring programs, the Pacers Foundation strives to be part of the solution to the problems facing our Indiana children. You could help, too, by purchasing a Pacers Foundation license plate through the Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Go to pacersfoundation.org to learn more.
You're listening to Pacers Weekly, live on The Circle in downtown Indianapolis. I'm Pat Boylan. If you are a regular guest of this show, you know Eddie White finds somebody with an interesting story around Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and this one certainly qualifies. A bit of a congratulations in order. We'll let Eddie set the table. Eddie?
Thanks, Pat. It is once again time to go around the house. And I'm telling you, this is a special one. I'm going to get emotional here. Earlier this week, we had a major announcement that my guy, and he is my guy, he also is my boss, the great Bill Benner. Now, anyone listening knows that name. They've either read him for 100 years with the Star. He ran the Horizon League when they were going to the Final Fours. I mean, the guy helped build Indianapolis as the great city it is. He's had the perfect perspective on sports for over 50 years in our community. And he announced he's going to, like, retire, like semi-retirement, and he's leaving. But he's going to hang around, so I had to get him on. Bill, first of all, congratulations. Secondly, I'm sorry that you're leaving, but I know you're going to go spend more time with the family. And at the end of the day, that's probably the most important thing.
Well, absolutely. At this time in my life, Eddie, and again, thank you. And it's been a pleasure working with you and everybody here at Pacers Sports Entertainment for the last five seasons. What a place. Great team. The team behind the teams. And it's, as I said in the release, it's been the culmination of my professional career that included that long stint at the Star and then great stops with Sports Corp and Visit Indy and the Horizon League and now PS&E. But it's been an absolute joyride. And, yeah, my wife retired a little more than a year ago. We have a bucket list, and we have some traveling we want to do. And my grandkids are out in Colorado, so I want to be able to spend more time with them, watch them grow. And so lots to do, but I will continue to be the director, thanks to Rick Fusen and Herb Simon. I will continue to be the director of the Pacers Foundation and try to help kids throughout the state of Indiana, which is a really great thing.
One thing I want to ask you is, for so many years you covered this team as a reporter. You were at the game, so you're in the locker room, you're talking to the coaches, you're talking to the players, and you're covering as a neutral reporter, covering this professional basketball team, playing the sport you love. But now, these last few years, you've been here on the inside. You've been able to almost, like the old Wizard of Oz movie, remember when we saw Boom, what's behind the wizard? You've seen that there's something beyond those players you covered, those coaches you covered. You saw the operation from the inside, and I guarantee you, I know you've been proud to be a part of it, but it is something special, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, and it's easy to be on the outside and be a critic and to be harsh in your judgment of players and things that go on. But when you get on the other side, you realize the processes that are involved, the people that are involved, and it's far more involved than you could ever imagine. But, you know, my time with the Pacers, I was the beat writer back in 1974 when they moved into Market Square Arena, and moved then still the beat writer when they moved into the NBA. And then I had the opportunity as a columnist to be there for all the Reggie action during the 90s and Smiths and Mark Jackson and Chris Mullin and Jalen Rose and the Davis boys. I mean, you talk about a fun time to cover the Indiana Pacers. That was the best. But, yeah, when you get on the other side, you say this is a very involved organization with a lot of moving parts, and it takes incredible teamwork and cooperation among all departments. I tell people, by the time you get to that 7:10 tip-off, the things that have taken place have nothing to do with basketball. Everything that game ops and the marketing side and sales, it is incredibly detailed and involved.
One thing I realized when I got here and you saw the inside, and now you have, we've talked about it, and now it's almost your role going forward with the Pacers, with the Pacers Foundation, is we've always heard that the Pacers are about two things: winning championships, which they have in the ABA and the WNBA, and we will with the NBA and Pacers Gaming and the Mad Ants, but serving community, and that's going to be a big important role for you going forward with the foundation. But when you're here every day, like you are now, and I was. You see that. It's like it's amazing what it is that this – sometimes people just see the jersey and they think it's the team that lost the other night or won tonight. But there is – this is a part of the core, the DNA about serving the community and being this – I hate corporate partner. I think it's more community partner.
Yeah. Well, Kelly Toles and her team on the community relations side, and including Bobby Courtright with the Fever, I mean, they do 50 programs – a year, and you're involved in a lot of them, the reading timeouts and the summer hoops tour and all the really visible things we do. But it is truly astounding how the Pacers give back. The Pacers Sports and Entertainment gives back to this community, and not just Central Indiana, but statewide. You know, as you know, we go around in November and December and give away 50,000 toys, thanks to our good friend Steve Berman, who's Herb Simon's pal. I mean, what a great thing that we're able to do, to use our resources and our brand to help people. Eddie, I mean, you do this as well as anybody. The times that we bring in unannounced, nobody knows, but we bring in people and we provide experiences for them at a Pacers game that nobody knows about but those people. And it's the highlight of their year and sometimes one of the highlights of their lives that we're able to do that. And so I enjoy that's the best part of this job, aside from hopefully winning a championship. But the best part of this job is what we're able to do with, again, our brand and our resources.
Well, I will speak on behalf of everybody here, and then I will really speak on just behalf of me. Many times I've read you over the years, did not agree with what the hell you wrote, but I will agree with this. One, you are one heck of a guy. You are a great boss. You're a whale of a grandfather, a remarkable and extraordinary, and a husband to be admired, a great dad, and one of the quintessential people that I would put up there to define as a true Hoosier, doing things the right way and putting things in perspective. And I love you. I'm going to miss you. And I wish you the best. I thank you for everything. And I can't wait for you to see those pictures of you on the slopes. I mean, you're 180 years old. And ladies and gentlemen, he's out there skiing like Jean-Claude Keeley. I mean, I can't walk down the hallway without taking a break. And this son of a gun is going up and down the slopes. And so I wish you many skiing ups and downs and all that stuff for the rest of your days.
Thanks for making a grown man cry. You know, I've been so incredibly blessed to come along at this time when Indianapolis used sports to redefine itself and to be involved first as a chronicler of that and to write about it, and then to be on the other side and help bring events and NCAA Final Fours and the Big Ten and all the great things that we've done with the sports initiative, to be one of the implementers and champions of that is I couldn't be more blessed. And Eddie, we're not going anywhere. You're still going to be my pal, and I'll still be around. But to work with you and to see how you engage people, nobody's like you.
Stop. We're not talking about you. Say goodbye. We got to get out of here. It's not about me. It's about you. How about that, Patrick? He was absolutely one of the gems this city has ever had. And he's not going anywhere. We're not going to let him leave. He's going to go. He'll be around. Patrick, he's the best, and so are you, my friend. Back to you, Patrick.
All right, Eddie and Bill, thank you, and certainly a congratulations in order to Bill Benner. All right, let's take a look at the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, the Pacers G League affiliate. They're coming off a win on Friday night. They beat the Delaware 87ers 113-110. That was in Fort Wayne. So the Mad Ants, with that victory, now improved to 26-18. That's two games behind the Westchester Knicks for the best record in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks have dropped a couple in a row, so the Mad Ants are charging in that direction. But currently, Fort Wayne sitting in second place in the conference as their schedule begins to wind down as well. Their next game is Tuesday, so they don't play over the weekend. They're in Grand Rapids, Michigan at the Deltaplex Arena. But very easily, you can follow and watch the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. All you have to do is search them on Facebook or even just search the NBA G League on Facebook. Once you like those pages, you will see posts from them, and on game nights, you will see a link and live video embedded inside your Facebook of the game. So once the Fort Wayne Mad Ants tip off, for example, coming up Tuesday, it's 11 a.m. Eastern time tip. You just have to go to Facebook, go to their page, and you can watch the Fort Wayne Mad Ants live and for free on Facebook. When we return, Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith joins the show. This is Pacers Weekly.
Through our local associates, Stanley Security, one of the world's leading global security providers, has been involved in the Indianapolis community for over 70 years, supplying security products and service to the commercial, industrial, and institutional facilities. Stanley is a founding sponsor of Bankers Life Fieldhouse and the official security products provider of the Indiana Pacers. Find out how Stanley Security can provide a solution for you at stanleysecurity.com.
Hi, Pacer fans. This is Victor Oladipo. You know Banker's Life from the name on our home court, Banker's Life Fieldhouse. Banker's Life is also part of the CNO Financial Group family of insurance brands. CNO Financial is based right here in Central Indiana. In fact, they are one of the 10 largest companies in the state, providing health and life insurance, as well as retirement solutions to middle-income Americans across Indiana and nationwide. Learn more about CNO Financial and its Central Indiana roots at CNOINC.com. That's CNOinc.com. And let's go Pacers.
Pacers fans, don't miss a game just because you're not in front of a TV. You can watch Pacers basketball anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
Stephenson scores and a foul.
Never miss a moment of the action. Launch the Fox Sports Go app on your phone or tablet. Sign in and stream the Pacers.
Here goes Oladipo.
Take every game, pregame, and postgame along for the ride no matter where you go. Watch Pacers basketball on Fox Sports Indiana. And when you're on the move, stream the Pacers anywhere with Fox Sports Go.
At St. Vincent, we know getting care for your everyday life means you need more than an everyday doctor. You need one that listens. And that's just what Ascension Doctors at St. Vincent do. Listening to you helps us see your whole picture. And with doctors who take the time to understand you, getting the care you need has never been easier. Find compassionate, personalized, and convenient care that is right for you at GetSt.VincentCare.com.
Mark Monteith joining us live now on Pacers Weekly. Mark, a dominant win over the Hawks last night, but really the main story, Darren Collison and his return. Surprise from you to not see any rust seemingly at all from him?
Yes, absolutely. You know, you expect rust when a guy has been off as long as he was. And he looked like he was, you know, midseason form. You know, 7 of 10 from the field, 5 assists, 0 turnovers. He threw in a turnaround jumper at the first quarter buzzer for a three-pointer. So it was really good. But the training staff had brought him along patiently and gradually. And he had gotten some up-and-down work and practice. And it wasn't like he had, you know, was stepping onto the court for the first time. So, you know, it worked out better than anybody could have expected.
Let's talk about the defense that Victor Oladipo is seeing. He had an interesting night in that he didn't really take a shot until late in the first quarter. He got 17 points. In fact, it was on a very efficient 7 of 9 shooting. But you're starting to see, I guess, a different style that he has to play to be effective as he becomes more prominent in the league.
I thought that, along with Collison, was the story of last night's game, was how Oladipo attacked it. Because the two games prior to that, he had really struggled. What was it? I mean, 5 of 16 in one and 6 of 16 in the other, something like that. He had poor shooting nights. He was forcing shots. He was diving into the lane and trying to make something happen. And last night, he basically played point guard and was very patient. His first field goal came with just a few minutes left in the first quarter. He only took 2 shots the first half. Then he kind of broke out in the third quarter and had 15 points then, but it looked really easy for him, and that was because of how he had played the first half. He didn't look to score much, and Atlanta, you know, was if they were giving extra attention to him like teams are now, and he simply passed the ball to somebody else, and he set up 4 three-point shots in that first half, 2 by Miles Turner and I think 2 by Corey Joseph. So the game looked really easy for him, and he commented afterward that, you know, hey, this is how I have to play it now. He had sat with Nate McMillan, watched film, and they talked about it together. It's a good sign for the Pacers that their leading scorer isn't hung up on scoring and is perfectly willing to give up the ball if there's an open teammate. And so, yeah, Oladipo only scored 17 points last night, 6 or 7 below his average. Did not bother him in the least, and that was a good thing for the Pacers.
Mark, we're a little short on time, so I apologize that we have to be short with you, but one final wrap-up question here. The Pacers, 16 games remaining. What do the Pacers have to look forward to? It's a very tough schedule coming up forward. Your analysis of the final schedule and then maybe how that might translate into coverage over on Pacers.com where the fans can read you.
Yeah, all the coverage will be there, home and away, on Pacers.com. So, you know, we'll be there every step of the way. But it's going to be tough. You know, 10 of 16 on the road, 8 of those 10 road games against teams that are going to be in the playoffs for sure or very well could be. I thought last night's game was somewhat of a template for how to approach it. Number one, they need Collison there. Number two, they need Oladipo being effective one way or the other, whether it's scoring or playing like he did last night. And they need a lot of bench support. They played a 10-man rotation last night. Guys like Trevor Booker were really effective. So, you know, Atlanta's not a very good team, but the Pacers, I think, showed last night how they need to approach the remaining schedule and how they can win on those road games.
As Pacers.com writer Mark Monteith, you can read him at the website and follow him on Twitter. Mark, thanks for your time this morning on Pacers Weekly.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
We'll wrap things up. Jeremiah Johnson, Pacers TV host and sideline reporter, joins us to close out Pacers Weekly. That's next on Pacers Weekly.
Financing was always a concern.
We were a brand new couple out of college.
First bought a dog, which made us buy the house, of course.
Knew we were getting married, so correct. We wanted something to be able to move into right away. We ended up finding Forum Credit Union, and through Forum Credit Union, we got pre-approved.
Really liked working with Forum, the best to offer rate-wise.
Everything went so smoothly.
Forum Credit Union made it easy.
Forum Credit Union, your money, your voice. Equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 469848.
I love helping people get what they need. So when you order with ClickList from Kroger, I make sure you get everything you ask for, picked fresh and just the way you like it. Whole organic milk? Done. Two ripe bananas, one green, and today's fresh bread? Got it. With ClickList, I'm your personal shopper, so you can trust me to pick out the best produce, meats, and groceries, fresh, bagged, and ready when you arrive.
Order online, pick up curbside at store. Now featuring same-day pickup. Visit Kroger.com/ClickList.
Get the best seats at the best pricing for the greatest spectacle in racing. Tickets for the 2018 Indianapolis 500 presented by Pengrade Motor Oil and all of May's epic events at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway are on sale now. Be there for IndyCars crossing the bricks at over 230 miles per hour. The base dropping over the snake pit presented by Coors Light. And save a vacation day to rock out on Miller Lite Carb Day. Get your tickets now and save at Indy500.com. Is it May yet?
Pacers fans, check out the new Pacers team store located inside Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Get all the best Pacers gear, plus the best brands, including Nike, 47, New Era, and Under Armour. Also, make sure to look for the game night specials during all Pacers home and away games to steal a great deal. Can't make it to the store? Grab all the gear at thepacersteamstore.com. The Pacers team store, the place for all your Pacers needs.
And joining us now, as promised, Jeremiah Johnson, Pacers TV host and sideline reporter, is with us. JJ, I would guess one of your more fun walk-off interviews of your career came last night when you get to talk with both Darren Collison and Corey Joseph. Darren's return and Corey playing one of his best games of his Pacers season.
Yeah, sometimes at halftime you can sort of look ahead and project what you're going to do. So many times this season a game has been decided in the fourth quarter and you're kind of adjusting or seeing who makes the big plays down the stretch, but it sure seemed like about halftime that the point guards would be the story as they combined for 24 points in the first half and then continued to play well in the second half. And so it was nice to see Corey play really well, and I don't know that Darren could have expected or asked for anything better in his first game back. And you could just tell by talking with both of them, and really we know this by this at this point this season, how well they get along and how unselfish they are. And I think Corey understands when Darren is back, Darren will be starting, but I think Corey played so well, and it was great to talk with both of them right after the game.
One thing I wanted to add on to that and get your sentiment as well is on Joe Young. He did not play except for 2 minutes in garbage time, and I really thought, and I think this was surprising to a lot of people, we don't know if he has a role going forward if these two are healthy, Joseph and Collison, but I thought when he was asked to step into a larger role, for the most part, he did a really nice job. Your thoughts?
Yeah, if you think about Joe Young, is in his third season, and he had a stretch there, I think in his rookie season, where he had a couple of good games, but didn't really play much last year and was sort of waiting for the opportunity. So, as you said, no matter what happens over the final month, I'm guessing he probably, if everyone stays healthy, will now be out of the rotation. He showed enough, I think, in the last month that he has a place in the NBA, and whether it's a third guard or whether he can be a backup point guard, I think that remains to be seen, and some of that's probably up to Joe Young, but he was someone who, when you've got a third guard and someone gets injured, that person has to step up and into the rotation. And I think all you need to say is that when Darren Collison was out, this team was 7-4. So they more than survived when he was out, and they're a better team when he's on the court. So that does say good things about the future, but also you do need to tip your cap to Joe and what he was able to do when he was called upon.
Jeremiah Johnson is with us. When you talk to the team, the players, the coaches, they, of course, have to keep the narrow focus, which is – Boston coming up on Sunday night at 7:30. That said, you look at these next four, I think you even alluded to it on the postgame show last night, maybe the toughest week of the Pacers season is coming up right here, starting with Boston.
I'm just really looking forward to seeing these games. And, you know, no disrespect to the Hawks, but they're a team, when you're getting ready to do a 30-minute postgame show, they're not that many intriguing storylines. And, you know, to be honest, I'm sure it's hard for the players to really get up for a game like that against a team like that. And it came, you know, it cost the Pacers last week. So now this week, every game is big. Every team the Pacers are playing, a serious playoff contender, and really someone who maybe they think each one that they can get hot in the playoffs and perhaps make a run to the finals. So I look forward to seeing what the Pacers can do. I think it'll be good to have no names on that injury report, get that one game with Darren Collison back. And you can't look ahead past any of these games, but I think so many times this season there have been games where, you know, many fans would count them out, and three of these four are on the road. So they won't be favored probably to win any of these games, to be honest with you. But I think that they will give a good account of themselves, and I would not be surprised to see a 2-2 week. And I think that'd be a pretty good outcome after the next four games.
Yeah, I think most fans would certainly take 2-2. Boston, Philadelphia, Toronto, and Washington, three of those on the road is what we are alluding to. Let's close, though, talking a little bit about Boston. Obviously, the Pacers, one of their best wins of the season, came out there not too long ago. 7:30 is the tip, but 7 o'clock with you on Fox Sports Indiana.
You know, I really enjoyed your interview with Victor last night, because you referenced the game and you said you think they're going to be a little bit angry because you got one from them in Boston. And he said, well, you know, they got a couple of close ones from us at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. In one of those games, Victor didn't even play. So I think this team does not fear the Celtics, and nor should they. But we're going to focus in on really what Boston does well, and that's play elite level defense. And that's kind of what cost the Pacers, I think, Wednesday against Utah, as they played a team that played outstanding defense. So can the Indiana offense get it going? I'm confident they can do pretty well defensively against Boston. And always some storylines when you talk about the Celtics with Brad Stevens in March. You can always look back to memorable times with Brad and Butler, but also Brad and Zionsville. So we might we hope to talk with Brad about the Zionsville Eagles winning their first sectional since he played for the Eagles, and perhaps Isaiah Thompson passing Brad on the all-time scoring list. And just an update, I've been watching online. It was Zionsville 40, Fort Wayne North 39, going to the fourth quarter in today's regional.
I'm sure something that he will be watching, at least checking up on throughout the day. He's Jeremiah Johnson. All of that at 7 o'clock coming up tomorrow. Jeremiah, thanks.
Thanks, Pat.
You can also catch the pregame show on the radio, 7 o'clock right here on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM is when we will begin as the Pacers take on the Boston Celtics Sunday, March 11th at 7:30, the opening tip with Mark Boyle out in Boston. That'll wrap it up for Pacers Weekly. Thanks to our producer this week, Jason Newhouse, filling in for David Deering. We will talk to you next week as we do every Saturday morning, Pacers Weekly on 1070 The Fan, 107.5 FM at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning.